Today we are going to conclude our series on the Holy Spirit. Although we took only 3 weeks, doesn't mean we exhaust our study. Maybe down the road we will be able to study more on some of the topics we did not touch on, we touched but we have not really dealt with it properly. The first week we connected the coming of Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost with the beginning of the church. Just as nation Israel was formed on the day of Pentecost according to the rabbinical Jews, according to Exodus chapter 19, when Holy Spirit came upon 120 disciples on the day of Pentecost, church began, a new movement began. The coming of the Holy Spirit upon the disciples was a covenant by which the reign of Jesus Christ would be inaugurated in the life of the believers. Not on everyone, but those who believe in the birth, death, the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. When they receive Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, the reign of Christ inaugurates. And also, when the Holy Spirit of God came upon on the day of Pentecost, what is mentioned in Acts 1:8 would begin to take place. Until then, disciples were curious how they were going to work for Jesus. They thought they would be ministers and they would be administrators. But Jesus said, when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you will receive power from above and you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and uttermost part of the world. And last week we looked at the person and work of Jesus, person and work of the Holy Spirit. That is, Holy Spirit is not an energy or a liquid, but He's a person, eternal, uncreated. He is part of the Godhead. He has been active just as the Father and Son have been active in the history, in creation, in special missions, in sustenance of this whole world. And now Jesus Christ has taken His dwelling among His people. When we come together, we become body of Christ. We become the temple of God because He dwells among us corporately. And also, Holy Spirit dwells in us individually. That means we become the temple of God and Holy Spirit dwells among us corporately, then we all corporately become the temple of God. What He does is He leads us to Jesus. He brings to our memory the teaching of Jesus. And He helps us to stand before people and bear witness to Him. And now when we are discouraged and going through difficulties, He comes with His word and He encourages us. He, according to Ephesians 3:16, He strengthens our inner being. Holy Spirit has variety of ministry these days. He convicts us of sin. And He produces fruit in us. And He fills us. What we mean by filling is, He, when we give our life to Him, to His control, and He takes control of our life, and He starts leading us. Thereby He produces fruit in our life. There are several fruit mentioned in the Bible, especially nine of them listed in Ephesians chapter 5 verse 22. Today we are going to look at the Holy Spirit, giver of the gifts. The Holy Spirit, the giver of gifts. Before we go to the passage or passages, I'd like to make a few announcements. Those of you who are here, and I don't see any visitor here, and if you are visiting for the first time or second time, yeah, I request you to fill the information card, and we will be very happy to have you in our main list so that we can inform you about any special program or anything. We can keep you in our list of emails. And we have two offering boxes. If you have brought offering to the Lord, you can offer to the Lord. Those boxes are sitting there just at the entrance of this building. At the end of the service, we will just go out and have fellowship with one another. And the regular meetings would take place Except this week. Tomorrow men's meeting stands cancelled because tomorrow is the Independence Day. And rest of the things, you all know what's happening. And if you'd like to know more about some of the things happening during the week, you can go to our website. And our website carries a lot of information. This evening, just after the service, women meet together for their meeting, monthly meeting. So if you're part of that meeting, please join. And I'm sure you will really enjoy the discussion, short discussion. Sometimes it goes a little long, but it's fine. What we will do today is we are going to look at the whole area of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Whenever we read about gift of the Holy Spirit, the writers mean is the Holy Spirit. That is the objective genitive, that is gift of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is one of the greatest gifts God has given to us. But we are not going to talk about gift of the Holy Spirit, but we are going to talk about gifts of the Holy Spirit, the plural. What is the gifts of the Holy Spirit? People may ask, what is the gifts of the Holy Spirit? The gifts of the Holy Spirit are those spiritual abilities the Holy Spirit gives to believers for common good of the church. Gifts of the Holy Spirit are those spiritual abilities the Holy Spirit gives to believers for the benefit of the church. And, we can talk about several things, but our church is amazingly gifted. And we saw a team of people. And, by God's grace, every week we see different people coming to the stage, and we see the gifts are, plenty. That means, we have a greater and longer mission in this place. The Crossroad Church believes that the Holy Spirit is the giver of spiritual gifts. So, at the outset of this discussion, I would like to tell you that we believe that the Holy Spirit is the giver of the spiritual gifts. Life and development of the Crossroad Church depends on the complete use of spiritual gifts that the Holy Spirit has endowed in the believers. We believe that we cannot operate purely on the expertise of the career staff, pastor and some of the staff. In order for us to grow and develop, we need to depend on the gifts of the Holy Spirit that is given to our members here. Our life and development depends on that. To this end, we, the Crossroad Church, seek to identify the spiritual gifts of each member and to encourage him or her to use these gifts for the benefit of our church. Some of us don't know that we carry a precious gift in our life. We don't know. So at the end of the service, we are going to identify, recognize, and then encourage for you to use for the benefit of the Crossroad Church or for the vision God has given to a body of believers here. Sometime you may have a question. Hi, Bhavika. So you may have a question. What is this? Is it, gift? I'm a trained person. Does that mean that is a gift? A lot of time, if you are trained, that can also be a gift. God has helped you to develop on it. Sometime, a gift which you did not work for, suddenly you find that gift in you. If I say I'm a singer, if I were to sing here, that means it is definitely a spiritual gift. I don't sing. Anytime I sing a song, I sing differently. That is also a gift, I think. When we sit for family prayer, sometimes we sing the song. If we were to sing it every day, and every day I sing differently. But if I were to come and lead the congregation here in singing just as Sean and as Gerald and others, that means I have a special gift from the Lord. I cannot boast about it, but I have to use it for the life and development of the Crossroad Church. There are several types of gifts. All of them have to be used. It is something like our body. Our body has several organs. All of them have to function for the common good of the body. Just like that, each of us who are endowed with gifts, I know this is what people say, at least there is one gift in you that you have to see. Sometimes, you know, it just stands out. A lot of time, you have to really identify, what is my gift? What is my gift? And God will help us to identify that gift. But, you know, if you are endowed with the gift, you have to use it for the benefit of the church. But Paul has in three places listed some of the gifts I'm going to read here today. You know, these lists are helpful for us to really have our discussion today. One is in Romans chapter 12, verse 5 onwards I will read. So in Christ, we are many from one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to grace given to us. If a man's gift is prophesying, let him use it in proportion to his faith. If it is serving, let him serve. If it is teaching, let him teach. If it is encouraging, let him encourage. If it is contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. If it is leadership, let him govern diligently. If it is showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully. Before we list all of them, I will read another passage that is in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7 onwards. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7 onwards. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one there is given through the Spirit the message of wisdom. To another the message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another faith by the same Spirit. To another gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another miraculous power. To another prophecy. To another distinguishing between spirits. To another speaking in different kinds of tongues. And to still another the interpretation of tongues. And these are the works of one and the same. And he gives them to each one just as he determines. The third one is Ephesians chapter 4 verse 11. Some of you know this one really well, but I will read it. Ephesians chapter 4 verse 11. It was he who gave, that is Jesus Christ, it was Jesus Christ who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers to prepare God's people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and became mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. These three lists are very important. We will just go over some of them. According to Romans 12, the first gift is prophecy. You know, people have a different idea of this one, and this is what I understand from this passage. Prophecy in those days is inspired disclosure of God's will. Then in the same list we see service. There are several services, visiting hospitals, or hospitality, maintenance, cleaning, etc. We all need, when we look at all these gifts, I don't think there is one gift is bigger than the other gift. If someone is cleaning the restroom, another one is working in the kitchen, another one is preaching here in the pulpit, according to the distribution of gifts and the operation of gift, I believe all of them are equal because we are all doing for the common good. We speak for common good. We serve for common good. We show hospitality for common good. And there is no superior and inferior usage of gifts because all of them are needed. And teaching, encouraging, giving. Sometimes we may see, oh, is giving a gift? That is what Paul says, giving a gift. And I have seen some people who are so good in giving. They give and give and they find so much happiness in giving for the cause of Christ or for the common good. According to 2 Corinthians chapter 12 verse 7 to 11 says message of wisdom. Sometime, you know, giving some advice to people. It is a gift. Sometimes, you know, I need wisdom. I try to go and make rash decisions. I just think something and immediately I want to accomplish it or get it. But if we are part of a body of Christ and we are functioning for the common good, we need someone who will come up with words of wisdom. Sometimes words of knowledge, message of knowledge, faith. Faith itself is a gift. It is not the faith that leads us to Christ, but exercise of faith, trusting in God. You know, I know a friend of mine, he is working in a very, very difficult place. He owned a big company in those days, in the 80s, latter part of 80s and early 90s. He gave a company away which was making hundreds and thousands of dollars when he felt that God was calling him. And he went to interior parts of Bihar. Two times he had malaria. And both the times he would have died. But he said, you know, God called me and he was so strong in his faith and he started exercising his faith. And now when I look back, the amount of faith he exercised, it's wonderful. Hundreds and hundreds of people came to know the Lord. You know, the husband and wife, he got married when he was in 40s and now they don't have children. But both of them, his wife was teaching in a nursing school. Both of them gave up their job and they went to another place. In a place called Yodhmal in the rural areas, learn language. And we asked them, you are so much educated, you can support so many missionaries if you were to work in the cities. But they said, no, we want to just go and exercise our faith. They exercised their faith. And as they did it, they did not do it grumbling. They did not do it out of burden, but so much joy and happiness. So faith, exercising our faith, is a gift from the Lord. Then it says speaking in known languages. In a context like this, we need people who will speak several languages. I knew there was a guy by name Kamal. He is still in the US doing his PhD. 12 languages he could speak fluently. DKP Kamal. He could speak English, Hindi, Marathi, Telugu, Kannada, Tamil, Malayalam, some of the northeastern languages, German, French, amazing. It is gift from the Lord. Some people struggle learning one language. You know, or, you know, some people have difficulty speaking their own languages, their own language. But some people are gifted. My father-in-law, when he comes to the stage, he can speak in 4 languages fluently. He will be speaking in English, switch to Kannada, sometimes switch to English, Malayalam. Gift of language. That is what mentioned here. The word, Greek word used there is glossa. That means language, a known language. Interpretation or translation of languages. If we were to speak language, unknown language, we need people to interpret. And these are gifts Paul has listed here. And Ephesians 4:11, he says, apostles. We have to be very careful when we look at this gift of apostles. In Bible, there are only 12 apostles. But even today, we have these apostles in the form of their teaching. For gospels, writings, and general epistles, and revelation. And these are the deposits of our apostolic teaching. And we need them. You know, we cannot just stand up and teach something, but we have to go back to the apostles in order for us to get guidance, because they were the people who lived so close to Jesus Christ. Prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. You see all of them. You know, I did not highlight everything, but I highlighted some of them. But when you observe all these gifts, the list of gifts, there are a few things we need to learn. The gifts are given for the benefit of the entire church. No gift is given for personal benefit. If I am a teacher, you know, before we started the church and before we start, started planning for Crossroad, we went through a spiritual inventory. I did several spiritual inventory, and recently I did a spiritual inventory, and all of them came out as teachers. You know, I'm a teacher. It's a gift. They say, you know, you are a teacher. And there are other gifts, but the topmost one, probably in 4 or 5 of them, said, you are a teacher. But I cannot be a teacher for my own benefit. If I want to exercise my teaching ability to for my own benefit, I have to go and teach in a public school or some other school, but not in a church context. If God has gifted me with the gift of teaching, then I have to use it for the common benefit of the church. The same thing, if someone has the gift of giving, they have to just freely exercise their gift, because God has given you this gift and you have to exercise it. If your gift is hospitality, use it to the maximum, because God is so much pleased by the use of hospitality. And like that, so many things. If God has gifted you with administration, you know, use it to the maximum, because that is needed. Everyone has to exercise their gift for the common benefit, and none of the gift is used for personal benefit. I cannot say, I am going to use it for my personal edification. But according to Paul and his teaching, spiritual gifts are for the benefit of the church, the common benefit of the church. Gifts are not given to satisfy one's selfish desire or for personal sanctification. I cannot say, I'm going to exercise this gift for my personal holiness and go and exercise it somewhere, not in a context of a common benefit, then it is not a good use of the gift God has given to you. When Holy Spirit has gifted you, it is not for your benefit and not for your personal sanctification, but for your common good. Some of you may be thinking, what is my gift? What is my gift? Please wait. You keep thinking. At the end, we will discuss about that. The Holy Spirit bestows gifts according to His will, and believers do not demand it. Because, you know, in the last week discussion, we saw Holy Spirit is omnipresent, according to Psalm 139. And He is omniscient. He knows everything. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, 10 to 11. And Holy Spirit knows your heart and my heart, and He knows our past, present and future. He knows the makeup of our congregation here. Therefore, He feels this is what prayer needs to have, and He gives it, because anyway it is going to be used for the common benefit. And He knows this is what Stan needs to have, and He gives it. I cannot be just go and be adamant, Lord, I need the gift of teaching, because I can be standing standing before the people. I cannot ask. He is the final, He decides, He determines who should have a certain gift. We cannot twist the Holy Spirit of God and say, or His hand and say, you give me this gift. I want to be a teacher, or I want to be an administrator. I want to be up in the sound booth. We cannot say, according to Paul's teaching, Holy Spirit is free to give what He feels is necessary. Proper and consistent use of the gifts bring glory, growth and maturity. When we know this is the gift I have, when I use it for the common benefit, that results in growth of the local body and expansion of the local body. If you have the gift of faith, or if you have the gift of interpreting things from one language to another language, or if you have the gift of administration, when you use it, you know, church grows. That is what we see in several places. We see church at Philippi grew because Lydia, the day she became a believer, she understood. She was not a teacher, she was not a big preacher, but she was a person who was gifted with the gift of hospitality. Please come forward, we have several seats here. So Lydia started using it from day one onwards, and church started expanding. And we see that in Cornelius' life. Cornelius was a connector. The minute he came to know the Lord, he started connecting with people. That was his gift. And I can just find out some of the people who are sitting here, what your gifts are. Sometime we may say that is not my gift because we don't want to use it. We don't want to, you know, be seen as people who will be doing certain things. But I can say this is what your gift is. You know, for sake of freedom, you know, with my wife, I can say, she may ask, sometimes she may say, you know, I'm not teaching. Lot of her classmates are teaching. Some of her classmates are going around and heading mission organizations. Oh, and some of her sisters, one of her sisters is teaching. She is leading a big school. She will say, then I look at her and say, man, you are gifted in hospitality. You use it as much as possible. It is for the expansion of the kingdom. Sometime, you know, I see a gift of prayer in her. Gift of mercy. Yesterday or 2 days back, there was a person who had a little bit of difficulty and she's pregnant and she called and she, and after that she didn't sleep for two days. And she said, I have to go and see her. You know why? Because God has gifted you with a gift of mercy. You have to exercise it. Similarly, if I say, I'm not going to teach. Because it involves a lot of pressure. I need to, Tuesday, Saturday I preach and I have to come up with my outline on Tuesday because that is where we discuss with our friends and leaders here. You know, I come under pressure. But after the Tuesday discussion, you know, I'm so free. If I tell the Lord, Lord, I don't want to teach, you give me some kind of light job. But God will not say no. You have gone through the training. God has provided you all the provisions to update your skills and gift. You have to use it. You know, no one needs another approval, outside approval. Sean is an amazing singer, musician. You just give him a string, tie that string from one end to other end and you give him, he will come up with a nice music. It is a gift for him. If he says, I don't want to use it, but you know, use one gift, and if God has gifted you with few more gifts, start using them. Proper use of gifts from the Lord result in growth and expansion of local body. Some of you have a gift of good voice. Use it for the Lord. It is a gift from the Lord. Then, you know, a small detour here, we have to see fruit of the Spirit and gift of the Spirit must not be confused. you know, sometime, this even this morning when we were discussing, someone said, how about love? I believe love is fruit of the Spirit, it is not the gift of the Spirit, although there is a gray line. Fruit of the Spirit, when you look at Galatians 5:22, there are several fruits or fruit. The shades of fruit is mentioned there. Love, joy, peace, happiness. All these fruits are not gifts. Fruits happen when an individual or a local body yield consistently to the leadership of the Holy Spirit. You don't need to work towards getting fruit in your life. But as you continue to the yielding of the Holy Spirit, that results in fruit. You may be peaceful even when there is turbulence around. It is a fruit. You may be joyful even when everything is not going well. It is a fruit. Fruit happens in your life when you consistently give yourself to the work of the Holy Spirit. Fruit points one's depth in his life. Jesus said, one's fruit reveals the nature of that person. You show me the fruit, then I will tell you what kind of tree this is. If there is fruit in someone's life, that points to the depth of one's walk with the Lord. You know, we can put a lot of pretense, act. Several times we can say, praise the Lord, hallelujah. And we can go to several holy places. We can do several religious activities. But if fruit is not present, we will be able to say how deep a person is with the Lord. But if you consistently yield yourself to the work of the Holy Spirit, that will result in the fruit. Spiritual fruits in someone's life. One can be spiritually gifted, but at the same time, spiritually fruitless. It's amazing. That was the problem that was happening in the Corinthian church. We can have a lot of gifts here. We can be singers, musicians, administrators, preachers, teachers, and you think of anything. But if we are not consistently walking with the Lord and yielding ourselves to the work of the Holy Spirit, we will be fruitless or bankrupt as far as spiritual fruit is concerned in our life. But proper exercise of our gifts may lead to abundance of fruit in our life. One must guard against gift leading to spiritual pride. I have seen this one in several places. If someone is gifted, in certain area, that they emphasize too much to their personal glory and honor, what happens is that leads them to spiritual pride. They start judging people, and they start finding fault with others, and they accuse other people. Instead of bringing glory to God, they become a stumbling block from bringing glory to God. So we have to be careful. If we have a certain gift, we have to use it for the glory of God, for the common benefit of the church. A proper use of the gift leads to growth and development, but we have to be careful the misuse of the gifts. But we should not confuse our gifts with fruit. Fruit happens only when we yield our lives continuously to the work of the Holy Spirit. You may ask, see, we are part of the body of Christ. And if you feel that you are gifted in certain areas, you may ask, how do we exercise our spiritual gift? Or how do we use our spiritual gift? The first and foremost one is a good, we have to use our gift as a good stewards. The gift is given to us. We did not learn it. We did not acquire it out of our effort. But it is given to us. So we have to use it as a good steward of what God has given to us. And we have to use the gift of God in complete conformity to the scriptural guidelines given to us and boundaries laid in the scripture. If we say that this is what my gift is, we have to always confine our gifting to the teaching of the scripture and boundaries that is laid, particularly in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. We have several boundaries and guidelines listed there. We have to be very careful how we use our gifts. And we have to use our gifts under the guidance and supervision of the elders of the local church. Suddenly you feel that you need to exercise your gift. Talk to one of the elders and say, this is what I'd like to use it. I have a gift of singing, or I have the gift of hospitality. I have the gift of giving, and you want to continuously use it. Then, you talk to one of the elders and use it under the supervision of the elders. That is why God has appointed elders in the church, is to really help us grow and expand, not to control and curtail our freedom. And we have to use our spiritual gifts for the benefit of the common good. Anytime if I have a tendency to use my gift for my own benefit, that means we are not good stewards, and we are misusing God's property that is given to us. You can list so many things like that. So we should not be, as a body of Christ, be confused with the gifts. If there is any question regarding some of the controversial issues, you can come and talk to us. What is your stand on certain thing? And your elders will be able to tell you. Again, some of the use of the gifts is a secondary, even tertiary issue. It is not a primary issue. In a Christian life, primary issue is bearing fruit to the Lord. By fruit, the world will know who we belong to. When we have joy, love, joy, peace, patience, faithfulness, perseverance, long-suffering. You know, when people see these things in our lives, they bring glory to God. That happens only when we walk by faith. As we conclude our discussion today, what is the takeaway that we have? How can I go from here, having heard this three series on the Holy Spirit? Last week, our takeaway was be filled by the Holy Spirit, and we gave some guidelines how to do that. Today, the takeaway is identify your spiritual gift and use it for the life and ministry of the local church. Use it for the life and ministry of the Holy Spirit. If you strongly believe this is what your gift is, you have to use it for the benefit of the church. The question is, what is my gift? What you may ask, what is my gift? Sometime you may have a desire, a deep desire. Whenever you come to church, whenever you think of your role in the church, you may have a desire to play a role. Sometime, you know, lead an evangelistic campaign. You may say, I want to go out and share gospel. Come and tell us, because we want to use that one. That may be your gift. You know, as we saw here, gifts cannot be, just kept under the bushel, or it cannot be used for our own benefit, or it cannot be mishandled. It has to be used for the benefit of the church as good stewards. Because gift doesn't belong to you, it belongs to God. If you have an urge within you that you need to go out and do regular prayers along with few other people, come and talk to the elders or some of the people, you know, I want to do this one. Or you feel that you are gifted in hospitality or leading a home group. Or you are a connector, bringing people together, a networker. Please tell us. You know, we will come as we, you know, you may remember our series on servant leadership. One of the principles we learned during that series was, you know, instead of telling you this is what you have to do, we have to, as followers of Jesus Christ, come and ask you, how may we help you to attain the best? Suppose if you are a good singer, if you are a good musician, if you are a good host, how can we come and help you so that you can use your gifts for the benefit of the church, the local church? You can do that. There are several things you can do. You can ask your friends. You know, I have asked several people, what do you think my gift is? A lot of them said, you're a good teacher. Several of them said, I'm an encourager. People said, I'm a networker. I'm definitely a good networker. You know, why can't I network for the Lord? When I am in Patel Brothers here, or when I am in Walmart, I should be looking for people so that I can network with them for the Lord. If you feel that you have a gift of evangelism, use it for the Lord. We will not stand in your way. But we have to exercise our gifts under the supervision of the elders and the guidelines that is given to us in the Word of God. So, we will wrap up this one saying this. Holy Spirit gives us gifts even today. And He wants His gifts to be used to the maximum for the expansion of our church. The problem is not with the Holy Spirit, it is with us. A lot of time, we don't really want to do anything for the Lord. That makes us not good stewards. So we will find out how we can be good stewards of that which belongs to God.